Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
And away we go, our numero dos to the Rob Brown Show. The Money Hour starts right now. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is the Fan Upstate. Tremendous, as always, to have you here on a Monday on a Tuesday morning. Hope all is well. Hope you're having a lovely, lovely start to your week. For those of you that is just getting started, for those of you that had to work yesterday, sorry about it. Do want to thank those of y'all that had to go out yesterday and, keep the world a-spinning. We appreciate it. Those of us that... So I slept in all the way till 8 p.m. yesterday. I mean, a.m. yesterday.
Yeah, I slept till like 7:45 and said, I'm staying in bed till 8. Not getting out till 8.
The lady friend had to work yesterday. She got up. She left for her office very early. The dog asked to go outside, and then she's leaving. I'm like, can you take the dog out? She's like, nope, I'm late. Okay. So I got up, took the dog back. Then I went back to bed. I put on a YouTube video about the fall of the Byzantine Empire, and I fell back asleep. It was spectacular.
Isn't it Byzantine?
Who cares? What are you, a history dork?
No, you are.
History nerd?
You are, so I'm surprised that you got that wrong.
South Carolina. What did I say the spread was going to be about this game? I said double digits. You remember what I said it was going to be?
Either 10.5 or 11.5, I think, or something like that. I don't know.
It's exactly what I said. You know what it is, according to BetMGM? 12.5. South Carolina's minus 12.5. Minus 450 on the money line, if that suits your fancy. That's impressive, Bob. 12.5 point favorites after their win over Vandy this weekend, which is a combination of respect being given to the Vanderbilt Commodores, especially playing at home, and recognition that the South Carolina team is good now. And I'll have you know, before anybody goes, stop it, Rob, I do want to point out, I was dogging this team after the Ole Miss loss. Dogging the hell out of this team.
It doesn't help that I mean, you're doing all that and what you're wearing. I mean, it's just, you know.
Listen, you give me a hockey jersey with my name on the back, I'm wearing it every day, right? I don't even care if I dislike
those. Those look like Gamecock colors. I'm just saying.
Oh, they are. Be very clear.
It looks like a Gamecock jersey.
It is.
Look at that. It says Carolina on the front.
Sure does. And with all that being said, You want to sincerely and thoroughly off the great one and find me a way to get a Clemson hockey jersey with my name on the back and my number on the back, and I'll wear that too.
All right. You're right. It will bother me.
I know.
It might bother me worse than the sunglasses. I don't know. Maybe.
Not only will I wear it, I will buy a purple pair of these sunglasses to match it. Okay? We'll get great one really heated up in here. Somebody find me.
That's what everyone wants, I'm sure.
Somebody find me a customized, personalized, as this one is, a customized. I'll tell you this. How much am I committed to that? Just so we're clear. My wife will murder me in my sleep, but I'll do it for the brand.
I'd be more worried about, you know, Bobbitt treatment, but, you know.
I don't know that she wouldn't do that, okay? All I'm saying is, if somebody can hook me up with a customized Rob Brown Clemson hockey jersey, I'll wear that too. Or soccer. Their soccer jerseys are dope.
By the way, he is not. He doesn't really want one because, you know, that probably would go above a limit of what you're allowed to accept, and that would be against the rules. So don't send him that because I don't want him to get in trouble.
I said, tell me where I can get one.
I don't think that's what you said.
Okay. Somebody tell me where I can get one customized. And I'll do it. Now, in fairness, just so you're all very clear, it will stay in this radio station. It will never be allowed in the home.
Mm-hmm. We'll see how long it stays here.
I mean, it's going to have my name on the back. It's the only way I own it.
What did the cleaning crew do again?
Again?
It must have somehow made its way into that trash can.
Wesley said size medium? Yeah, bud. Yeah. In seventh grade? All right. We got a lot to get to, a lot to roll through. 7:05 in the AM. You have less than 55 minutes till you've got to be over to the office and ready to get to work. And if that is you, you're going to eventually be talking about sports, which is why we do this. It's the Water Cooler Cheat Sheet, the top three sports stories that, hey, you need to know before you get to the office and start talking sports with your coworkers. This morning, if you are going to be talking sports, this is what you shall be talking about. Let us dive right in with item number one. There are going to be a couple of dated news stories in the Water Cooler Cheat Sheet today because we weren't with you yesterday and I want to talk about them. This is not one of them. 23-15, the Miami Dolphins, number one, cha-cha-cha. I don't know that's how that song ends, but it felt fitting.
That was beautiful, man.
Thank you. 23-15 winners over the LA Rams last night. They keep their season alive, albeit on life support, improving to 3-6, 2-3 on the road. Tua Tagovailoa last night, 20 of 28 for 207, a tutty and a pick. However, that was not the story of the night for Tua. On said pick-terception, Tua Tagovailoa being the absolute competitor that he is, Tua Tagovailoa decided, I'm not letting this guy take this thing back to the house. I'm going to throw my body on the line. I am going to sacrifice my body for the team. And he decided to make a tackle. Okay, I respect that. Quarterbacks try to stop INTs from turning into pick six all the time. Except Tua decided to do it. Anybody want to guess how this sentence ends? You are correct. With his head. Tua, I'm begging you to stop. I am the dude that said, and will say, continue to say, Tua Tagovailoa's continuation of his NFL career is up to Tua Tagovailoa, Tua Tagovailoa's doctors, and Tua Tagovailoa's family, and not a damn person else. I also can say, I really hope I don't watch this guy die on a football field. And, like, that's not a joke anymore. That's not like a morbid, macabre joke. I'm afraid we're going to end up seeing that. So with that being said, what I don't need to see is the quarterback of the Miami Dolphins, who has 736 concussions in his football career, stopping a pick six by throwing his head into the very quickly and rapidly moving forward knees of a ball returner. I don't need it, Tua. He did get checked for a concussion, was able to return to the contest, had an okay night. 20 of 28, 207, a touch and a pick. Matt Stafford had a real good night, 32 of 46, no touchdowns, one interception, efficient with the football, but that one mistake bit them big. However, the run game was abysmal in this game. I really thought coming into this game, one of these two teams establishes the run and that team wins. Because both of these teams, obviously, rely on their offense to win them football games. Couple of okay defenses, but both of these teams rely on the offensive side of the football to win them games. Whichever one establishes the run first is going to be the team that wins. Yeah, neither one of them did. The Dolphins ran for 67 total yards. The Rams for 70. Not exactly a bangarang of a game, but the Dolphins get it done. 23-15 winners. Let's move on to item number two. The college football playoff rankings will drop this evening, whether you like it or not. They are predicated on the AP rankings. The AP rankings dropped over the weekend, and once again, to the shock and surprise of exactly no one, the Oregon Ducks have the number one spot by a consensus. 62 first place votes available. All 62 of them are owned by the Oregon Ducks. The Ohio State Buckeyes get a big win over Purdue. They will stay at number two, up one spot in the AP poll from what number three, where they were. The Texas Longhorns move up a couple of spots to number three. The Penn State Nittany Lions move up a couple of spots to number four. Both of them, because the Georgia Bulldogs, arf, 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 go on the, you know, usually, not today. Not after they go down and get hammered by Jackson Dart, Lane Kiffin, and his Ole Miss running Rebels. They move out of the way, which moves Texas up two spots to three, Penn State up two spots to four, and ladies and freaking gentlemen, Kurt Cignetti and his Indiana Hoosiers are finally inside the top five where they deserve to be. The second highest ranked undefeated team behind only the Oregon Ducks. Out of the Big Ten, the Indiana Hoosiers move up three spots inside the top five.
They almost lost to Michigan. I'm just saying.
They didn't almost lose to Michigan. They had a sloppy second half.
They almost lost to Michigan.
They had a sloppy second half. It was the worst performance that they have had so far. Let us not pretend. And again, I don't like talking about intangibles, but that is not to say that you don't, shouldn't, can't, never talk about intangibles. Michigan is going to get drilled by 90 by the Buckeyes this year. If anything else happens, Ryan Day is cooked. Okay? This was all Michigan had left. Because they got Northwestern. Nobody cares. And they're going to lose by 90 to the Buckeyes. This was all the Wolverines had left. Was this the best game Michigan's played all year? With the exception of maybe the USC game. And oh, by the way, USC ain't that good either. I would argue yes. And I would also point out with said Michigan Wolverines, they put up 30 on Fresno. They put up 28 on Arkansas State. They put up 27 on USC. 27 on Minnesota. They put up 17 against Washington. They only put up 7 against Illinois. They put up 24 on Michigan State. They put up 17 on the consensus number one team in the country. They put up 15 against Indiana. I'm going to tell you right now, I don't care if they are bad. You hold a team to 15 points in the landscape of modern college football, you win the game. You win the game. Indiana did what they needed to do. It was sloppy. It was ugly. Second half was as bad of football as we've seen out of Indiana. But they made it 10 weeks, and they did it against the reigning defending. All right, now, it's not the same Michigan team from last year. Ain't no doubt about that. This team ain't good. But this was also Michigan's last game that they have a reasonable expectation of achieving anything. I don't know about you, great one. There's a lot of people who aren't going to acknowledge this. When I know there's something on the line, I play better. It's just the reality. If the boss says to me, hey, corporate's in town tomorrow, they're going to be listening. I promise you the show's going to be better. That's not to say I don't attack this show with a reckless abandon every single week. I do, but if the head coach is listening, if the boss is listening, if the guy that's got a chance and opportunity, the control to increase the numbers on your paycheck is listening, you're going to give it a little extra whoop-ah, whoop-ah. You're going to come a little harder when you fight whatever fight you're fighting. Michigan's got Northwestern. Nobody cares. They're going to get beat by 90. This was the last chance Michigan had to do anything of any significance this year. I think he got the best shot Michigan had.
The way you're wording that, they do have a chance to do something significant. They can knock off Ohio State and get Ryan Day fired. They can absolutely do that.
No, they can't.
Well, I hope you're right. We'll see.
If Ohio State loses to Michigan, Lonzo, I'll fly to Columbus and fire Ryan Day myself. I'll do it myself. No problem.
I've got some places you could stay so you wouldn't have to pay when you get there, unless you're just going to jump on a plane and come right back.
Number six, Tennessee moves up one spot. Two spots up is BYU at 9-0. Notre Dame is at number 8. Alabama back inside the top 10. Of course they're the top-ranked two-loss team in America. They can't be anything else, can they? 7-2, Alabama moves to number 9. They are one spot ahead of 8-2 Ole Miss, who jumps up six spots. The biggest mover of the weekend after knocking off Georgia. Down 9 spots to number 11 is Georgia. Down 8 spots to number 12 are the Miami Hurricanes after Miami this weekend. Boise State down 1 spot. They fall this weekend. Despite Ashton Janti having another 8,000-yard day, they were in a closer game than you'd like against the Nevada Wolfpack. SMU is down a spot to number 14 after they sat on the bye this weekend, so no credit there. The Aggies of A&M stay at 15. Army, 2 spots up to 16. Clemson, up 2 spots to 17. Colorado, up 3 spots, now to number 18, not just in the top 20, inside the top 20 of the Buffaloes. Washington State comes up a spot to 19. Kansas State up 2 spots to 20. LSU gets embarrassed by Alabama on their home field in Baton Rouge. They are 6-3, down 7 spots to number 21. The Cardinal up 3 spots to number 22. And then at 23, there you have it, 6-3. Not ranked last week, ranked this week. The South Carolina Gamecocks, Mizzou, is number 24 at 7-2, and the Tulane Green Wave check in at number 25. That's your AP top 25. And finally, and very quickly, item number 3. I don't know why I don't have an explanation for it. I wish it did. Wish I did. Didn't have nearly, and if this is on me, if this is my bad, please hit me with it. But we didn't really get as much NASCAR in this year as we usually do. NASCAR was kind of a back burner this year for me. And it's usually not. It's certainly since I've gotten up here and I've had the opportunity to broadcast inside of what I have been told is NASCAR country. But there wasn't really, and this is why I've said you guys are our programming directors. You guys tell us what you want more of and less of, and you will get it. Not a lot of NASCAR love this year. Not a lot of people calling me up, hitting me up, saying, Rob, what do you think about blank in the NASCAR world? We had a couple of stories that popped up here and there, but it was less about racing and more about drama. Well, NASCAR crowned a champion this weekend. Joey Logano ends up being named the champ. He was, and this is a weird sentence to say, Joey Logano was eliminated from the playoffs at the end of the second round and then went on to become your NASCAR Cup champion. Logano was added to the round of 8 after Alex Bowman's disqualification after the round, after the second round. Immediately went to Las Vegas Motor Speedway and won the third round opener, shuffled him into the final 4, made Logano the first driver locked into the winner-take-all finale at Phoenix with 3 weeks to prepare for that final run. And boy, howdy, did he capitalize his third NASCAR Cup Series championship, a near-flawless drive to hold off Ryan Blaney, his teammate, and give Roger Penske and Team Penske Racing their third major motorsports title in less than a month, their third consecutive NASCAR title. Logano sneaks in after another opponent was DQ'd. He saw the opportunity. He hit the pedal to the metal, and he drove not just to a championship, to his third championship. Here's my question. Is there an asterisk on this championship, considering he was eliminated and then got back in because somebody else was DQ'd? Are we going to look at this like we do, like y'all do, like some of y'all do, the LA COVID championships of the Dodgers and the Lakers? Championships that to this day are still discussed as being fraudulent, fake, asterisked. Are we going to put the same on Joey Logano? We'll talk more about that and a whole lot more later on in the show. Rob Alonso and you, the Rob Brown Show, rolls on. It is the Fan Upstate.
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
The Rob Brown Show continues. It's the Fan Upstate. Rob, the great one, Lonzo with you. I want to jump on something very quickly here that I think was kind of interesting. Lonzo, I think the NFL may have a real bad year this year. Not for you, but for the league and for consumption of it. Because I sat down to watch the 1 o'clock games. Falcons Saints was a good game between two bad teams. Not bad teams. The Falcons are 6-4. Let's not say they're bad, but they were playing very, very poorly on Sunday. New Orleans is a bad team. They're now 3-7. The Patriots, whip with a capital, the Bears, 19-3. The Bills win 30-20 over the Colts, but it was it didn't really get interesting till the very end. As they do every week, the Chiefs make it a game for no good reason at all. You win 16-14, blocking a Denver Broncos field goal to win.
By the way, Rob, can't win them all. They're not going to win them all. They're not going to do that. They're going to lose one eventually.
I mean, at this point, I'm not convinced. All right, but we'll come back to the Chiefs later, because I'm convinced of a conspiracy theory that I heard the other day. Taylor Swift's actually a witch. She's actually a witch capable of casting love spells on the country. Because I got no other explanation for how the hell y'all keep doing this.
If you're worried about witches, then that means you believe in witches. You believe in witches. You believe in witch curses. In which case, you should be careful.
I mean, I believe none of those things except Taylor Swift. There's no other explanation anymore. 49ers-Bucks was okay. Steelers-Commanders was like okay. Vikings-Jazz was a snooze fest. Titans-Chargers was a snooze fest. Eagles-Cowboys was a snooze fest. Cardinals-Jets was a snooze fest. We were rescued by the Lions and the Texans, except for we were rescued by the Lions and the Texans because they had a combined 48 turnovers in that game. That wasn't a, I mean, I guess you could say it was entertaining, but it wasn't good. It was entertaining, but it wasn't fun. I mean, it was fun if you're not a Texans or a Lions fan. It was fun in like, I strained my neck from my head turning back and forth, watching the picks go back and forth. Was this weekend an entertaining football weekend? I mean, I can go back to Thursday and I can add Ravens-Bengals, but I would make the argument Ravens-Bengals was kind of marred by some pretty gnarly non-calls.
Well, in order to, I mean, if you could completely research this, you should go back last year at this time, the year before at this time. We're in the middle of the season. There's going to be a couple of down weeks in the middle of the season before teams really kick into playoff mode and pick up the pace. It's the middle of the season.
It is. And yet, here's the thing. I expect a down game. Maybe even a week where
there's... talked about parity. Isn't that what they want?
I'm not saying, in fact, quite the opposite. I'm not saying I want blowouts every week. I'm saying these are closely contested, but not good games, right? There's a big difference between a 24-21 banger that's got two good football teams slugging it out and this weekend.
All right, admittedly, I'm...
Where even the good games weren't good.
I'm desensitized, jaded, whatever, to a degree, because the team I pull for never blows anybody out but still wins. So when I see that across the board, it's normal to me.
I am looking at this not through the lens of Rob Brown, New Orleans Saints fan. I'm looking at through this through the lens of, man, there's like 10 games a week that my team's not in, and I'd like there to be good football to watch. I'll put it this way. Sunday at around 1 o'clock, I got up early. I watched Carolina, New York. We talked a little bit about that game back in the first hour. It'll come back up later in the show. But I got up early. I watched that game in the Bro Cave, getting set for a 1 o'clock kick between the Saints and the Falcons. Because it's divisional rivalry weekend, and I hate the Atlanta Falcons. So 1 o'clock rolls around. I'm watching that game. It's just not a super compelling game for any aspect other than it's a rivalry, but that's it. And so about 1:35, 1:40, the lady friend looks at me and she goes, can we go clean out the storage club? We outside of our garage, we have a carport. We have a big storage, a locked storage thing attached to the house. And it had admittedly gotten very cluttered. She goes, can we go clean it out? And I got up off the couch. And she's like, no, not right now. The Saints are on. I just mean after the game, like tonight. Can we go clean the storage shed? And I'm like, we just do it now. I'll put the game on the radio. I'll put a headphone in. You know, I'll just listen to it while we're working. And she's like, well, we can move the TV out there. I said, okay, fine. I'm good with that. So we brought the TV out to the carport and turned the game on so I could kind of watch it while we're working. Now, pretty much every other NFL week of my life, I would have said, nah, we can do it tonight. We can do it in the like, you know, 40 minutes between the end of the late window afternoon games and Sunday night football. Because as Kerry reminds us, we've been waiting all day for Sunday night.
So you were going to do it in the dark.
No, there's these, I don't know how you guys roll out in Great Court, but we have electricity, lights, and turn the lights on.
So you would still be doing it in the dark.
No, because we turn the lights on, and now it's light.
I get it's dark outside, but you probably don't want to go in the shed unless you got lights in the shed.
There's lights in there too.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I know it's very 3,000.
I don't know how that other half lives.
Yeah, so, seriously,
but I live vicariously through you.
Talk about my 1% of life. We have lights in the outside parts of the house.
No, you're talking about a shed. You got lights in the shed.
No, it's not a shed. A shed kind of is standalone. This is like a. It's a storage room that's connected to the house, right?
Okay.
It's like you're in the carport, and then there's attached to the house in the front of the carport is a storage room.
Okay. All right.
Connected to the house.
Yard tools and things like that?
Yep.
Okay. All right.
My mountain bike goes in there, the yard tools, all my woodworking equipment, all my regular tools.
All stuff you don't use anymore.
The lawn equipment. No, actually, I actually did a little woodworking this weekend.
Did you mountain bike?
I've not mountain biked since I moved here. I was like, I'll bring my mountain bike to the mountains because I'll live in the mountains. That bike has not touched a mountain. I've owned that bike 10 years. It has not seen a mountain. So I guess technically it's just a bike. My bike is out there. Anyway, point is, by the time she asked me about 1:45, 2 o'clock, can we go outside and work on the storage shed? I was like, you know what? Yes. And the answer is yes. Not because I'm like jazzed up about a Sunday night banger between the Lions and the Texans. And I was excited about that game. And I'm glad I was because it, again, entertaining game, not good game, but entertaining. I was just like, you know, if we get this done by like 6 o'clock, I can have a good dinner and like be in pajamas by 7:30 because I'm 100. That sounds nice. I was watching these games.
And man, jammies are comfortable.
I'm a big fan. I spent good money on my jammies. Good money on some comfy jammies. I had the silk jammies on Sunday night, like the good stuff. Like the my skin deserves this jammies. All right? I did my moisturizing. I put on my silk jammies. All right. I pour myself a nice glass of bourbon and I sat down and I show prepped until this part's not a joke, Lonzo. I show prepped until like 9 o'clock. And she's like, "What are you doing?" "I'm show prepping." She's like, "Aren't you off tomorrow?" And I went, "Damn it. I am.
I got to say, ain't nobody surprised by this story.
I totally blanked. Because again, those days I usually work. I even ask to roll the show solo so I could have my extra vacay day. But I got shot down by my coworkers who all said, "No, we want a random Monday off. We don't want to attach this to all the other holidays later in the year. We want to be off now."
On behalf of the majority, words from DX come to mind.
Anyway, the point here is the NFL, is it me? Am I overreacting to like 1 3-hour window? Or does it feel like competition in the NFL is a little bit down this year? Lonzo's right. I ask for parity every year. And for the most part, we're getting it. Except in the AFC East, where the Bills are 8-2 and nobody else has more than 3 wins. The AFC North is a 2-horse race now, although the Bengals aren't dead yet. The AFC South is full of three bad teams and a Houston Texans team that does not feel like they felt coming in. The AFC West looks like it has a couple of good teams, but really, let's be honest, it's a Chiefs world. We're all living in it. The NFC East has 2 7-win teams. And by the way, as much as I love the Commanders, and I hope I'm right about the Commanders, they don't look great right now.
If you throw this up comparatively to baseball, you'd be saying baseball is having a good season right now.
I don't think I would, dude. Because if I put these in terms...
The final records of the baseball teams, they're barely above 500. And the same thing happens with NBA.
There's no comparison between baseball and football in that regard. If the NFL teams were playing 162 games, we'd have the talk. But they don't. I got two teams in the North. I got one team in the NFC South. I got four average teams in the NFC West. I want parity, but it just feels like, are the teams not good or are they just all really mediocre and taking it out on each other? I don't know. It just feels like a weird year to me. Maybe I'm overreacting. Back after this on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate. The Rob Brown Show continues. It's the Fan Upstate. Things are not great for the Chicago Bears. Now, you may be asking, Rob, why are you bringing up the Chicago Bears in Greenville, South Carolina? A couple of reasons. Number one, I think the Chicago Bears right now are a team that would allow Carolina Panther fans to look through a situation that is very similar to theirs, but do so through a different angle, through a paradigm that is not necessarily shaded or impacted by your fandom. I don't care what anybody says, myself included. It is difficult sometimes to be able to look at your team and do so without being a little bit biased, a little bit jaded, a little bit boosted, whatever the word you want to use there is. So I want to take a look at the Bears situation and see if, by talking about the Chicago Bears, maybe I can convince some of you of something that I have said for a while about your Carolina Panthers. And I'm going to get to that. But there's a second reason, an ulterior motive that I have for talking about the Bears. And that is to play this clip from a guy on Twitter by the name of Dave Swervsky. Dave Swervsky is a Chicago Bears fan and online content creator. Now, there is one spot where Rob Brown goes full boomer, and it is, I do not like influencers or content creators because I think the internet is full of people who are very full of themselves, who think they are funnier, more entertaining, whatever, than they actually are. This might be a bad thing for me to say because me, but.
You're hilarious, Rob.
Don't
tell you any different.
Your enthusiastic support and endorsement means the world to me. Dave Swarovski is a content creator that I'm on board with. Because as you know, I adore parody songs written by fans, specifically when those fans are miserable, like Dave Swarovski. They must win. Once again, they lost a must win. I thought he was going to do like the song does. You know, song, the song drops off there. The Bears!
I mean, that thing was, you could crank that up, then you just did what you did. Why would you, I mean.
Because, again, at the end of Dust in the Wind, it drops down that last octave. I thought he was going to do that, even though I listened to it like 40 times this morning.
I was going to say, wow, disappointing.
Discursed franchise. I love these guys. I'm a huge fan. Going from Dust in the Wind to Lost They Must Win is, I mean, it's A-plus artwork, right? And on top of that, see, because one of the things that's happened with the world of parody songs is that a lot of guys, they're too far off from the original, right? They take the song and they butcher it and they massacre it because they don't want to take the time to come up with a genius switch from Dust in the Wind to Lost They Must Win. Now, let's get into the meat and taters of the actual discussion here. Because my man James just popped up into the chat and he said, national host told me that Caleb was the future and would face the Chiefs in the Super Bowl. Can't believe they might be wrong. Fortunately, it's everyone else's fault. James, sarcasm duly noted and appreciated because it is the most fluent language that we hear on the Rob Brown Show, not just speak, but endorse. But you are doing to Caleb Williams what was done to Bryce Young last year with the Carolina Panthers. You and a lot of other people are doing to Caleb Williams what a bunch of people have done to a lot of rookie quarterbacks in the NFL. And that is just making the assumption that drafted first overall means you're an all-pro player right out of the gate. He is doing something that he's never done in his life, and that's quarterbacking in the NFL, which is, and I've done the research on this, hard to do. Really, really difficult to do. That's why so few people are good at it. Hell, there's not 32 good starting quarterbacks in the NFL. And you know it, and I know it. Coming into this year, I said, hey, the Bears made a massive mistake, not in drafting Caleb Williams, because I don't know, although my suspicion, prediction, prognostication, and projection was that Jaden Daniels was going to be the number one quarterback in this draft career-wise. And while it is still too early to call, I'm off to a pretty good start with that projection. But it doesn't mean they were wrong for taking Caleb Williams. The mistake that I said Da Bears made was keeping an NFL head coach that very clearly ain't it. He ain't it. Matt Eberflus ain't it. You want to know how else I know? Well, this is from our friends, our brother station, 670 The Score in Chicago. They were doing a podcast, and on that podcast, they had Bears defensive back Jalen Johnson. Take a listen to this clip. So, there's a defensive back for the Chicago Bears that went on a podcast and said, yeah, there's guys on this team that ain't working hard. That aren't working hard. They're not out there putting in the work, yada, yada, yada. And it doesn't even matter. I cut that clip because I'm going to keep it a buck with you. What he says after that is kind of irrelevant, right? Like, once you have a player on the team that is willing to go on just a podcast with a couple of local radio guys and say, yeah, there's guys on this team that aren't working hard, aren't trying, yada, yada, yada. you kind of lose the plot there a little bit. DJ Moore was on a show last week. Now, that's an answer full of football platitudes, right? But it started with, I don't want to say no. Why don't you want to say no? Because the answer is yes. And by saying no, you would be a liar. It's very clear. Here's the point that I'm making. A lot of people piling this on Caleb Williams. A lot of people piling this on that cat. A lot of people piling this on, we need to bench Caleb Williams, and Caleb Williams ain't living up to the hype, and yada, 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 yada. And I'm here to tell you, this ain't on him. Just like it was not on Bryce Young last year. Just like it was not on Bryce Young, because when you have a head coach that does not have the locker room, you don't have a head coach. Frank Reich came in, and this is, I beat him up last year, and a lot of people thought I was going too far. I beat up Frank Reich. I said, I got to tell you right now, this cat is boring. This cat puts me to sleep. This cat is boring. There's no gas. There's no enthusiasm. There's no juice. You're not elevating the game. It's the most boring thing I've ever watched. People said, Rob, it's a coach, right? Like, it's a little far. No, no, no. I'm not inspired. As a fan, and I'm not a Panther fan, but I am a fan of money, and when they make more, I get more. But as a fan, I should be the easiest damn person in the world to get fired up to watch you play football, and Frank Reich pressers and pregame speeches and all that put my ass to sleep. And you think the locker room's getting gassed? And when the locker room is all toxic, like the Bears is very clearly and evidently, when I've got players like DJ Moore and Jalen Johnson saying on podcasts in Chicago, yep, everything's bad. Everything's bad. Has he lost the team? Well, I don't want to say no. Yeah, because I don't want to lie. Hey, Jalen, are there guys in the locker room that aren't working hard? Yeah. Yeah, there are. And I don't know what to do about it. That's not good. And so when I've got all of that stacked together, I'm not going to let you guys put it on a rookie quarterback who got zero time to learn the game, was thrown into the fire immediately. You're not going to put it on him, or at least you're not going to put it on him and be correct. Just like you have seen the last 3 weeks, now that the team has kind of found an identity, now that they're running the ball, now that the offensive line doesn't stink, now that all of that is starting to happen, Bryce Young's starting to look like a game manager. Again, not a Pro Bowler, not a guy that I'm going to sit here and scream, oh yeah, that's a first overall pick. Just a good enough game manager to win some football games. You've won two in a row. It's the first time since 2022 that you've won two in a row. Because you found the identity. The coaching has figured out what works and started to implement it, and guys have bought in. The Bears, exact opposite. Same dumb crap, same different day. It's just the same old under Matt Eberflus, and that is why I've got fans out here calling this team. You're not cursed. You did it to yourselves. And you have done this to yourselves. You've been here for the best 60 seconds of your day. Lonzo Sports Flash.
Yeah, welcome. The Miami Dolphins knocked off the LA Rams last night 23-15. Quarterback Tua Tagovailoa was tested for a concussion after taking a shot to the helmet, attempting a tackle on an interception. Shouldn't do that, but stayed in the game, going 20 of 28 for 207 yards and a touchdown. Miami improves to 3-6, while LA falls to 4-5. In Rob's AP poll, Oregon is still number one, followed by Ohio State, Texas, and Penn State, while undefeated Indiana makes their top five debut at number five. Tennessee, BYU, Notre Dame, Alabama, and Ole Miss round out the top 10. Clemson jumped two spots to 17. South Carolina is now at 23. We are 4 days away from boxing history as the knockout machine Iron Mike Tyson takes on the most punchable face in boxing, Jake Paul. Stay tuned right here for the hype leading up to the fight, which goes down Friday night. Tune in Saturday morning at 10:30 as the Furman Paladins take on East Tennessee State Buccaneers. Furman versus ETSU, right here on The Fan, Upstate.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.